But first I want to spend 7 minutes to give you a bit of an outlook, 2019 and beyond. On the back of your list of sites people, you will find just a few bullet points to help you, as I rattle through this quite quickly, to keep track. And the prize for spotting the mistake goes to Joan Bell. She's also a very good proofreader. It should read up, in, and out in the big headings, not up, in, and up. Okay? Up, in, and out. It was G.K. Chesterton of Father Brown fame who said, "When it comes to life, the critical thing is whether you take things for granted or take them with gratitude." When we look back on 2018, we can only say, thank you, God. Just looking at the timeline in our annual report that I referred to earlier, or in fact, looking at the back of our vision brochure and the goals in our mission action plan that we set for 2018 and 2019, we've made a good start with all of them. We've actually completed a few of them already. Thank you, God. It's so important to look back with thankfulness. But there is also a potential danger that I, for my part, certainly know, and it's called nostalgia. Nostalgia, which paints the past in a rosy colour, and you know that you've got nostalgia really bad when you think that even nostalgia isn't what it once used to be. And if we're not careful, nostalgia is going to imprison us in the past. We doubt whether we'll have the strength again to do it all over again this year. Or maybe we look back to a time in the life of this church which seems a golden age now. A climate of uncertainty in our nation can make it worse. And that's when we need reminding that as we serve God, we can't do it in our own strength anyway. I love Tim Keller's reflection on Psalm 44, which is printed on page 1 of your perusia today. He concludes, "We shouldn't look at earlier times of spiritual ministry in our lives and think we'll never be capable of that again. You weren't capable of it in the first place. It was God, and He is still there." Does anyone think that's good news? Thanks, Namdi. One of us does. It's great news. It was God in the first place, and He's still there. He's the same God. As Christians, we live in three dimensions: up, in, and out. And this is the first dimension. Up is crucial to everything we do, to be rooted in prayer, worship, and God's word. We'll have plenty of opportunities this year for that. In the run-up to Pentecost, we're going to take part in Thy Kingdom Come Again, a global prayer initiative. We're hoping to very soon offer individual prayer for people during our 10:30 services. And in the autumn, together with the other local church, who's actually going to run a day of training in how to pray for others. And I'm just saying that already to get you excited. It's a great charity we've asked to come and help us to learn how to pray for others. And of course, we will continue this year to review and refresh our services. We started out with a worship course in the last autumn, and we'll do that this year. The second dimension is in, building a strong community. And the key to that is to be part of a community that is small enough so that you are known, that you are missed, and that you can care for the other people in your community. For some of us, that's a ministry team. For others, it's a life group. For others, it's both. Can I encourage you to be part of a group that's small enough so that you know and care for each other? At our recent Alpha course, which just finished this last week, one of the most common comments we heard was how much people have enjoyed getting to know the other small group members on the course. Our electoral roll has grown by 15 in a year of renewal when it typically goes down. How will we grow in our life together this year? Well, we are planning to start a fourth life group after Easter, and Ian and a couple of members from our church are going to take a lead in leading that group. We have a wonderful opportunity to celebrate the spiritual life of this church on the 30th of June when we have a confirmation service here. The third dimension is out, how we share the love of Christ in word and deed. We took a bold step in that arena with Rethink last autumn, but let's make sure it wasn't a one-off that we file, put on the shelf, and forget about. Now, of course, big events have to go hand in hand with small improvements in our church. And so as a PCC, we regularly review our welcome as a church. We've recently reflected on how many people have particular needs when they come to us, whether it's a mum who needs to change her baby during the service, or whether it's someone with partial hearing or sight. It's important that we understand their needs and then try to do something about it. And that's why we are planning to appoint a champion for welcome and accessibility. That's a working title. If you come up with something better, please talk to us. A person who has that particular brief to look out for people with particular needs, to hear them, to feed that back to the leadership, and then to help us do something about it. Some of the changes are already in the pipeline. We're going to put a proper baby changing table in the disabled loo. And also we know that this microphone here needs looking at. I will do something about the lectern mic soon as well. But when we think about the out dimension, we also must acknowledge that the world we live in 2019, I'm slightly behind the times, is very different from the world we lived in 50 years ago. We've seen massive shifts in our society. Just this last week, I did a session with the Denham Air Cadets up at the aerodrome, and we talked about the pros and cons of mobile phones. And I told them that I was 31 when I got my first mobile phone. They nearly fell off their chairs. They don't know how to do life without a mobile phone. And that's just one change. There are so many others. Church and faith are less and less a natural part of people's world today. Daunting? Yes. Cause for despair? No. Remember? You weren't capable of it in the first time. It was God, and he's still there. There are many opportunities to share the good news. Here are some that we've begun to think about. Connecting with seniors. Connecting with young people. Connecting with parents. We're about to run another parenting course. Maximizing the opportunities around the Christmas season. Improving our follow-up of baptisms, weddings, and funerals. Connecting with people in New Denham, where we have the least presence in our parish, we think. The list goes on and on. And I'm sure you could add an item or two to it. And so two things are important in this context. Firstly, prayerful discernment. A wish list doesn't make a mission action plan yet. That's why we prayerfully need to consider it. The PCC will begin to do that in our PCC Away Day in May, and we need to then together work out what is God asking us to do for the next 2 or 3 years. We can't meet every need at once, and if we're doing too much, we're doing some things that God has never asked us to do in the first place. Secondly, participation of all. God has given you natural gifts and talents and connections and spiritual gifts. You are needed. You have a role in God's good plans. There's a danger when a ministry team grows, and ours has done just this year with the arrival of Ian and Namdi, that people think they can sit back because the clergy will get on with it now. But the main role of the ministers in the church actually is to equip the saints, that's all of us, for acts of service. That's what one of the main roles we're here for. Our whole life serves Jesus. And that is why our annual report this year shows an open door at the front. It's as if we're about to step into the open. Imagine a big sign over this door as you step out saying, "You are now entering your mission field." Recently, I heard a great story about a firm of Christian builders in Liverpool who impressed their journalist client so much that they really challenged her negative stereotypes about Christians. They even cleaned up after themselves. Have you ever heard that? She was puzzled by the name of the company, JCIL Builders, until one night in bed, she cracked it and shouted, "Jesus Christ is Lord!" her husband thought she had had a conversion experience. And I wouldn't be surprised if she will eventually discover that Jesus, who is Lord. Your life, my life, tells a story. Let it be the story of the Lord of love. We do that through our generous lives, generous with our talent, our time, and our resources, as we are able. A generous church speaks of a generous God. In a way, I think it's great timing that we are launching our parish giving scheme at a time of great uncertainty. No one knows what the next year will bring. What we do know is that God is still in control, and so we can take a genuine step of faith with our giving too. As the followers of Jesus, we have the most powerful message in the world. It's a message which will change lives. It's a message of love, hope, peace, and purpose. Mother Teresa said this, "I can do what you cannot do. You can do what I cannot do. Together, we can do great things in Jesus' name."